Title this afternoon is Love God and Run the Race. We'll get our first verse from Matthew 22. There the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know, normally when we read this verse, we read the next couple of verses about loving your neighbor as yourself, but for the sake of the topic this afternoon, we want to use this verse by itself, these verses here. What do these verses mean to you when you read these verses? You know, when you read these verses, you think, that's the way I'm supposed to build my Christian life on these verses. We're supposed to love God. That's where we start with our Christian life, is loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all of our mind. Well, do you build your Christian life first and foremost around the principles that Jesus talks about here? Or do you say, I'll never be able to do that, and so I'll just do the best I can? You know, I've struggled with this all my life, trying to learn how to love God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. It's hard for me to get my head wrapped around that, to be able to do all that. How do I do that and still love my family and do my job and do this or that? You know, when I read this, I see a commandment that tells me that I've got to love God with every ounce of my being. And when I think that, I think, well, how do I do that? This requires so much faith to be able to do that. And you know, I think when we first start out as babes in Christ, it takes us a long time to start to get our mind to thinking about that. We read that verse all the time and we think, can I do that? Am I able to do that? Can I be a Christian? What if I can't do that? And sometimes I wonder if I lack the faith that God demands. You know, I believe that God is. And I believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I believe that He created everything that we see by His Word. He created us. He created all the things around us. I believe that He sent His Son to this earth to die on the cross for my sins and your sins and everyone's sins in the world. And that His Son was resurrected from the dead, giving us hope of eternal life. And since I believe all that, why is it so hard for me to give God my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole mind? Is there something in this life that's so important that keeps me from giving Him all these things, giving Him my service wholeheartedly? You know, as I get older and closer to the end of my life, I wonder, am I giving Him my best? Am I doing everything that I can do to prove myself to Him? Or am I lacking even one thing, like the rich young ruler who was covetous? You know, I'm always pondering about where I stand with God. And many times as I think about it, I find that I'm coming up short of His glory. And maybe you've been thinking about it too. Maybe you have thought, well, how can I love God with all my heart my soul and my mind. Maybe you've wondered if you have the faith that it takes to do that. And I want to consider a few things this afternoon that I hope will help to strengthen us and help us to give our all to God. First of all, consider what God has done for us and how much we owe Him for what He's done. And it's a debt that we can never repay. We already know that. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, I can't imagine how hard it would be for us to give our son or our daughter, either one, as a sacrifice for anyone or anything, and especially for the whole world. How did God do that? It had to be hard for God to do that too. God knew it had to be done. Jesus knew it had to be done. And He went through with it. He gave His only begotten Son on the cross, so that we might have a hope of eternal life. Otherwise, everyone was going to be lost. It was because of God's love that He did it. He loved us so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son on the cross for us. And how do you repay Him for that? Well, you can't. There's no way you can repay Him and be square with Him. So you do the next best thing. You give Him your love in return by being obedient to Him. You know, Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's one way we show Him our love, by obeying His will. One who loves God supremely will not live in disobedience to Him. And that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? It's hard for us to be obedient 24/7 because there are so many things that get in our way. You know, it's one thing to say that we love God and another to show Him our love. We could sacrifice our lives by dying for Him. And we remember from the scriptures that many people died on the crosses when the church was getting established. Many people gave their lives for the cause of the church, for the cause of the kingdom. But I think today God would be more pleased with a living sacrifice. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul called it our reasonable service. You know, I think if we want to show God how much we really love Him, that we ought to consider it more than just a reasonable service to Him, to become a living sacrifice for Him. And that would mean that we will live our lives as a servant of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul wrote, neither yield yourselves your members as in instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now that means that we're going to have a walk in the spirit mentality and not a walk in the flesh. That means that we're going to have to be totally a walk in the spirit. Give him our 100%. And that too is hard to do, isn't it? We're going to have to love our neighbors ourselves and not just the guys next door. The people we know, we're going to have to love people that we don't know. We're going to have to show them that love. That's hard to do. Yeah, I'm a pretty shy person when it comes to walking up to a stranger and giving my love, you know, especially these days. We must be a light, a shining example of a real Christian that's ready to minister and to serve those that are with or without Christ. I know that's a hard thing to do, but it must be done, even though many of them don't deserve it. Well, you know, we didn't deserve what God did for us, but he did it anyway. If we're to become a living sacrifice, that's what we must do. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That seems like a lot to bear, doesn't it? When it comes to some people out there that don't appreciate anything that you try to do for them. But sometimes you just have to suck it up. And you have to just let your pride down, let loose of your pride, so that we can be pleasing and be a good servant of God and show him that we love him. Sometimes we might have to do some things that human nature would stop us from doing. But our spiritual nature would go ahead and do it. Like walking up to a stranger's house and knocking on his door and inviting him to the church services. Or walking up to a stranger that looks like he's in need and asking him, can I help you, or is there anything I can do for you? Another thing we might consider is the need for us to preach the gospel to those who we come in contact with. And I think if we love God, He expects us to spread the good news to those that are without Christ in hope that some might be saved. Let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a little bit lengthy reading, so I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. We'll start with verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, Jesus told his disciples as he was about to ascend into heaven to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul shows us the mindset that we need to do that very thing and be able to maintain our focus and our purpose and our humility and our dignity and our good standing with our Lord. And just maybe by doing that, we might be able to save some souls. And that's what the gospel is all about, isn't it? It's about saving souls. You know, if everyone was already saved, there would be no need to preach the gospel. Because that's what the gospel's for. It's for salvation, for bringing souls to Christ. Now I want to talk about one more thing we need to do to show God our love and be pleasing to Him, and then I'm going to close. And that is to never look back and never give up. We must continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul tells us that over in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." We see at this point in Paul's life that he didn't count himself as one that had already attained eternal life. And he says that, I'm not going to look back in the past. I'm not going to look back before how I was before I became a Christian, before I was baptized for the remission of my sins. He says, I'm going to look forward to what I can be and what I can do since that time, since the time I obeyed the gospel. And he says, thus I'm going to continue to press toward the mark of the prize, the crown of righteousness. And he tells us to think the same way if we're to be perfect or complete. You know, you look a little further in the scriptures in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8, you see how Paul's attitude changes over time. There he says, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul's attitude has changed now. He says, I know that I have a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He says, I have fought a good fight against Satan and against the sin of this world. He says, I finished my course. I finished my race. I've come to the end of my race. I'm nearing the finish line. And my faith has never wavered. Now I know I have attained that prize, that crown of righteousness that was promised to me and to all those that remain faithful to the end. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read there how Paul... I've lost it, Garland. I went past it, okay. How he told us to run the race. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. The prize he's talking about here is the same prize that he said that was waiting for him. The same prize that he says in 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8 that he had attained. That the crown of righteousness was his. And that crown is an incorruptible crown. You know, when you think about all the people that run in those marathons that where they run like 26 miles, you know that those people just don't decide the day before the race that they're going to go run in the marathon. Well, maybe some of them do. But the more serious runners, they prepare for that race. They do some extensive preparation and training. Because in some of those races, the prize is pretty big. You take the New York City Marathon, the prize I read was for the male that finishes first and for the woman that finishes first is $100,000. And to most of us in this life, that's a lot of money. That's a big prize. But you know what? To the Christian, it's not a very big prize. Because the $100,000 is incorrupt. I mean, it's corruptible prize. One day you might have it, the next day you don't. You never know. You know, when you start talking about a prize, you want to think about eternal life. Because eternal life is the prize. It's the best prize of all. It's the biggest prize of all. It's the most valuable prize of all. You know, everyone that believes in the afterlife, they want eternal life. But the problem is, they don't want to run in the race to obtain it. They don't want to get on the straight and narrow path and run the race that you have to race to obtain it. And we see that many of them create this little fantasy world where they believe that God loves them no matter what they do. You know, the Christian life is like running a marathon because it's a long-distance race. And it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of determination. And it takes a strong will and a lot of conviction to stay in the race. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. To run the race to the best of our ability and never stop training. Persevere. Never give up. Don't look back so that you may obtain that crown of life. Final verse, and then we'll close. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. There the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." We are in a race, whether we realize it or not. And you know, the race will be a much easier to run if we'll lay aside every weight, every burden, every sin, and give it all to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then we can run the race with patience. He says, look at Jesus. Look at what he's done for us. Look at how much he endured for us. He gave his all so that we could have a race to run and win the prize. If we run our race, if we fight our good fight, if we keep the faith, and if we finish our course, we will receive that crown of righteousness. The same one that Jesus gave to the Apostle Paul.